Space outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. The banners that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious.
King of glory.
King of Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. And in your hands you hold the stars. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful.
Church, it is great to be here with you today, whether you're here with us in person or online. This week we have a few short announcements coming up, not this Friday, but the next. We'll be having our Good Friday service here at the church. Currently the time listed is 3 p.m. That may be subject to change, so please be sure to keep up with any emails through the Church Center app and any announcements coming here next week. Secondly, at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday, Alan Sandlin is teaching a class from the Book of James called Grow Hour. It'll be in room 202. If you haven't been there yet, please be sure to come if you are able. And lastly, we have been starting our Good News community groups, our small groups here at the church. Currently, we have two groups running, and they're pretty full. Things are going great there. Pastor Forrest says, I indicated some interest in maybe starting another group, maybe even two more groups. So if you're not currently plugged into a group, please be sure to look in the Church Center app or talk to him as well. And finally, on the backside of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to give to help support the ministries of this church, whether in person or online. We encourage you to be generous as the Lord leads you. Thank you, church. Now we're going to shift focus a little bit. We're going to read from the scripture, a passage from Psalm, Psalm 50, verses 1 through 3. And this, it says, "The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent."
Whoa, 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 reaching out to welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song. Flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every fear bow down to your love, that we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. And all we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory found in you, is found in you. Whoa, 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 whoa. In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole.
Led me through the fire, and
darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Surrender.
I surrender all.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we do surrender everything that we have to you. We know that anything that we have is only because of you in the first place. And Lord, if we have been going in front of you, stepping before we are listening and following, I pray, Lord, that we would re-yoke ourselves with you this morning, that we would become so much more in tune with what you have for us and where you're trying to lead us. Father, it's not easy living this life when we have so many distractions. It's not easy trying to follow you every single day with the same dedication and focus we had on our best day, and then we meet our worst day, and maybe we meet another one, and another one. Lord, this life is not easy, and you never promised that it would be. Lord, but you do promise that you are here with us, and that you will give us peace and rest, and that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And God, I pray that we would surrender all of our burdens to you this morning, and I pray that we would be leaning on your strength. We would be leaning on you for our strength, and we would not be reliant on ourselves. Lord, I pray this morning that we would open our hearts and we would open our minds even to receive what you have for us. And I pray that you would be with Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Well, church, as we transition from our time of musical worship, would you please turn to your neighbor and ask one of the two questions. Who looks to you for guidance, or who do you look to for guidance?
Well, good morning. Just so y'all know, if you have a baby, you're the most popular person in the church. Just so you know, that's what's going on over there, which is great. So we are so glad that Salem is here with us today. It's wonderful. So I just want you to know, I had this idea for a book that I want to write. And the idea for the book is, it's called The Secret of Contentment. So I checked recently, and I didn't do a lot of checking, but it didn't look like anybody wrote a book by that name, so I think I'm okay. I think I'm going to be able to write this book. And so the idea behind it is not the secret is not really my secret. It's the secret that's found in Philippians chapter 4. And so Paul, on writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, and he says to the Philippian church, I have learned the secret of being content in any situation. And then he lists a couple of options. He said, you know, I've learned the secret of being content when I've got a lot of stuff, when I don't have much stuff, when I got a lot of food, when I don't have a lot of food. And he said, I've learned the secret of being content in any situation. And then there's a verse where he explains the secret. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if you understand, this way you don't have to buy the book. I'm telling you what the book is going to say. And if you understand what's being said there, is that Paul is saying, I've learned to be content because I understand that everything that I have is what Christ has given me. And so if he's given me a lot, I thank him for that. If he's given me a little, I thank him for a little. And it's okay because Christ has given it to me. And so he said, the secret of being content is understanding that God is giving him what he needs, not necessarily what he wants. And so that's kind of the thing. Now, what's strange about Philippians 4:13 is, and you've probably heard this verse before, you've probably seen it on different places. And Philippians 4:13 in our culture, especially in the athletic part of our culture, has become kind of a self-empowerment motto. People say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so what it's kind of taken on this model format to like give people an ability to say, okay, I can handle my tough challenges if I just believe that I can do all things. The argument that Paul is making is almost the exact opposite. He's not saying you can do anything. He's saying you can do anything through what Christ gives you. And so the culture has kind of taken this motto over, and they've kind of run with it, and now it's become so huge, people don't really even understand what Paul is saying here. They just said, man, if I'm having a tough day, I just remind myself, I can do all things. You know, it's kind of that motto, that charge that people use. And so what this situation demonstrates, and this is not going to probably be a shock to you, is that modern humanity needs guidance. Modern humanity has this way of kind of taking these partial truths from the Bible, or partial truths from what they hear Christians talk about, or partial truths from different sources in the world, and they kind of adopt them and they try to make it work. And so what's happened is that our modern culture is in a spot where they need guidance. They need someone to come into their life and to teach them what is really going on. What these verses are saying, or what is a really a true right way to live. And the question, and the difficulty is that people in our modern society are getting guidance from many, many different sources. Many people are listening to podcasters like Joe Rogan. Some people are listening to authors. Even if authors aren't trying to tell people how to live, even in the stories that they tell, they're teaching a methodology, a life worldview. So there's authors like Stephen King, who's real popular. There's many, many others. And people are getting these perspectives from the people on TV and from people that they see online, and they're talking, they're getting a lot of different guidance. And so today, modern humanity has an abundance of sources of where to find guidance for how to live. And a lot of people are feeling kind of exasperated. They're almost a little bit overwhelmed, because the stories, the guidance that is out there is all different. It's just really all over the page. And so it's not like you can say, well, pretty much everybody's saying the same thing, because they're not. They're all saying this wildly different things about how to live, or how you should live, or how you should function. And so we find ourselves in a weird spot today. Our modern humanity needs guidance, but they're at least apt to be able to find it today than probably any other time in history. There's so many different sources, so many different voices out there. It's hard for people to know who to even listen to. So modern humanity needs guidance, but finding it has become very, very difficult. So the question that I want to ask and then answer this morning is, how do we authenticate guidance? How do we know when a statement or a teaching or a proverb, how do we know when something that we hear about teaching, how do we know if it's good guidance? How do we look at it and authenticate it and say, this is something that's worth keeping? And the reality is we need that for ourselves. We need to be able to have some kind of a filter to say, okay, the things that I'm hearing, the things that I'm seeing, the things that I'm reading, how do I know if those things are really good guidance? How do I know? And then the second part of that is that once we know that, then we can know what we should or should not tell to our friends and our family members about how they should live. How do we authenticate the guidance that we're seeing? And this morning we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, either digitally or physical Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 4. And what's happening here in Proverbs chapter 4 is King Solomon is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to his sons, multiple sons here. The previous chapter is just addressing one son, and now he's writing to multiple sons, and he's talking to them. And these first three verses of Proverbs chapter 4 talked about, hey guys, this is how you can know that the guidance that I'm giving you, these proverbs that I'm telling you, this is how you can know that these are good. This is how you can know that these are good guidance. This is how you can depend on them. And so he kind of lists a couple of reasons why his guidance that he's about to give them, why it's good. And what he says is this, guidance is grasping. And we're going to look at a verse that's going to teach us that guidance is more than just a motto. It's more than just knowledge. It's understanding. We'll look at that. The second thing we're going to see is that guidance is good. It's truly good. It's fitting. It works. It fits into the situation of life. And the last thing is that it's germane. Guidance is germane. It comes from experience. The person who sang is not just saying, hey, I heard someone say some time ago, but the guidance that is good is given by someone who has experienced it themselves. So look with me at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to see, first off, that guidance is grasping. Guidance is something that is more than just a motto. It is more than just knowledge. It's not static. It's an understanding. Verse 1 says this, listen, my sons. The command here is to hear. The sons are being told, and listen, my sons, to what I'm about to tell you. And it's my sons are being addressed here, so it's multiple sons. It said, listen, my sons, to the instruction of a father. And so what he's beginning to do here is he's telling them that the instructions that he's about to give them are guidance, instructions from a father to sons. And then it goes on at the last part, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. He says, listen to the instruction of a father and pay attention. Give this your full attention because, so that is a because word, so that you may gain understanding. Now, the understanding, when we think of the word understanding, we're not talking about a motto. Understanding is something which is a discerning ability to take knowledge and apply it. And so what he's saying is that the guidance I'm going to give you, this instruction that I'm going to give you, is from a father to sons, but the nature of it, it's not just knowledge, it's understanding. And that is the component that I want to really help you see, is that when we're evaluating things, guidance is something that is more than just a motto. It's more than just knowledge. It's understanding about how to implement something. Guidance is grasping. Now, I've seen, and you maybe you have seen this as well, a lot of people that use this Philippians 4:13 verse as a motto, I don't know why, but it seems like they're in football. And I don't know if their football coaches taught it to them or whatever, but I'm not sure. There's a football player that has his black stuff that he puts underneath his eyes so he can keep the sun out, or the light out of his eyes. One of the football players wrote Philippians 4:13 on his eye stuff. And that's how one of the places I saw it. A couple of the other athletes that I've seen had it tattooed on their body. And I even heard an interview with a football player, and he quoted the verse on public television. And so within the context of football, the generally speaking, the whole idea of Philippians 4:13 is this idea that I can do anything. I can win this game. I can win this championship. I can bench press this amount of weight through Christ who gives me strength. And it's a motto. It's a motivational motto. Now, understandably so, many of these athletes are people that are in situations that are very difficult, and they need some kind of a motivation to push them through. They need something to kind of motivate them to keep going through the difficulty of what's ahead. But the motto is just a motto. It's not understanding. That motto that I can do all things is just a motto. It's not understanding. If you look at what Paul is trying to communicate, he's saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But what he's communicating is that when I understand that the things that I have or don't have are things that the Lord has given me because he loves me, because Christ has given me the power to do these things, when I understand that's provision from God, I can do all of the things that he wants me to do. And when you understand it that way, you're like, ah, this isn't a motto. This is a wisdom that I can apply in any situation in my life. I can apply to a situation in my life when I'm in a spot where I don't have very much, and I can look and say, yes, but what I do have, the Lord has given me, I can be content with that. I can look at other situations where I have a lot of things, and I can say, yes, but I can be content with what I have because what I have is what the Lord has given me. And so the idea behind this 4:13, it's really, when it's understood in a right way, it's not a motto that helps you be better. It's an understanding about truth that will help you live differently. And that is a way to kind of understand the idea. Guidance is something that's grasping. It helps you understand how life is. It's more than just a motto. And one of the things that I want to challenge you with is I want to challenge you with the idea that you are an influence on people. You have an influence that you conduct on people. You and I, many of us, grew up in a time period with a culture that kind of communicated that we are all islands. We can do whatever we want to do, and it doesn't hurt anyone else, and it doesn't do anything to anyone else. And so we have this kind of perception that we are not an influence on other people. That's not true. Here's what I want. I want you to say this out loud with me. I want you to say, I influence, okay? Say it with me. I influence. Okay, I want you to say it again. I influence. No matter what your perception is about how insulated you are from the world around you, you need to understand you actually do influence the people around you. You are an influence on your family. You are an influence on your friends. You are an influence on your neighbors. You are. Now, oftentimes people are like, well, I hope they don't do what I'm doing. Well, they may not. They may see what you're doing and see the trouble that you got into and they're like, I ain't doing that anymore. But you are influencing people. And the reality is what we need to do is I want to push you and say, even if you feel like you're not being an influence on other people, that's not true. We influence the people that we meet, the people that we know, and the people we're close to. We all do. And keep that in mind as we look at the guidance that we are handing out to people. Guidance is, first of all, something that is grasping. So how do we authenticate guidance? How do we know that we are, now that we understand we are influencing people, how do we know if the influence that we are giving them, the guidance we're giving them, is good guidance? First of all, we need to understand guidance is grasping. And second of all, guidance is good. Look with me at verse 2. It says, for I give to you, Solomon is talking to his sons, and he's telling them, I give something to you that you did not have before. I give you good teaching. And the adjective here on the word teaching is an indication that Solomon understands that the teaching that he's given them is good teaching. He knows. He didn't just say, I'm giving you the teaching my dad gave me. He didn't say, I'm giving you the teaching that I read out of a How to Be a Dad book. He said, I'm giving you good teaching. And Solomon has evaluated we don't know what his criteria was, but somehow he's evaluated the teaching that he is giving to his sons, and he has come to the conclusion that the teaching he's given them is good. Not all teaching is good. This particular teaching is. It says, for I give you good teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Do not take my teaching in, hold on to it, and then get rid of it. Do not forsake it. Do not push it away. Do not walk away from the instruction that I'm giving you, because this teaching is good. And that is the fundamental nature of guidance. Guidance is something that is good. And this requires a bit of work on our part to evaluate what guidance we're giving people, if it's truly good, if it's in a nature. But once it is evaluated to be good, then it is guidance that we should be giving to people. If you think about this Philippians 4:13 verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are two basic ways that people understand it. two basic ways. There is the way that people understand this as a self-empowerment verse. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything. It's a self-empowerment. But there's another way that some people, myself included, look at this. And this is an explanation of why you should be content with what you have. And there's two ways to look at this. And if you think about it, if you really think through and you really process through each of these two ways, the first way doesn't really make sense. Yeah, it's fun to motivate people. But how do you talk to the football player? This is Philippians 4:13 on his arm, and then he just lost the football game. How does I can do all things, and then he doesn't do all things? It doesn't fit in life. It doesn't make sense. It's a fun motto, and it may help him bench press a little more, but it doesn't fit. Rather, if you think about it, it makes sense when we understand this verse in the context of being content. It makes sense. It makes sense of our lives. It makes sense of what is going on. And if we look at that and we say, ah, that is good teaching. And the reality is that as we are people who are interacting with our friends and neighbors, we have the opportunity to give guidance to people, but we've got to make sure that the guidance that we're giving them is good. It's got to be something that's actually true, that's beneficial, and that's true to life. And so what I want you to begin to do, a challenging thing for you to do, is I want you to think through in your head, and I want you to list in your head the people who are influencing your friends and family right now. And here's why. Because at this point in the sermon, and as you're thinking about this concept, it's easy to start thinking through, I don't want to worry about being an influence on people. I'll just kind of keep my mouth shut. I'll keep to myself and I'll stick out of here. And what I want to do is I want to push you out of that. And I want you to say, okay, here's the deal. If you're going to be quiet, then I want you to think about who are the people that are going to be influencing your neighbors? Who are the people that are going to be influencing your family? Who are the people that are going to be influencing your people that you know at work? Who's going to be the influence? Who are the podcasters that they're going to be listening to? Who are the late night people on TV that they're going to be watching? Who are the religious figures in our culture that they're going to be listening to? Who are the influences that are going to be influencing their life? Who are they? And if you're like me, you'll probably start to look at that list and say, oh man, that's not a good list of people to influence my family and to influence my friends. Challenging you to go through that list because I want to challenge you to start thinking about, indeed, you need to start thinking about ways in which you can be guider, give guidance to your friends and your family. You can't hide in the corner. You can't be isolated and say, ah, nobody's going to be affected. If you aren't influencing people, who's going to? And if you take a hard and fast, if you get a hard and deep look at that, you're going to realize you're not going to be very happy with the people that are influencing your friends and family. And if you don't do it, that's what they're going to have to rely on. So how do we authenticate guidance? Even if it's hard work and even if it's difficult, how do we authenticate guidance? First of all, understand guidance is grasping. It's not a motto. It's not throwing a motto at somebody and saying, hey, this is what you should do. It's understanding. It's teaching them how to take that nugget of truth and apply it in their life. Second of all, guidance is good. It's truly good. It fits. It works. It's beneficial in a situation. And the last thing is guidance is germane. Guidance speaks from experience. Guidance communicates to someone a truth and says, I know this to be true because it is my experience as well. Look with me at verse 3. And it says this, when I was a son to my father, the when there probably should be for. It says, for I was a son to my father. And by communicate this, what he's trying to do is saying, hey guys, sons, you guys are in the same position that I was in. I used to be a son to my father. Still am to some degree. But he's trying to identify with them, saying, hi, I was in your position. At one time, my dad sat me down and taught me some things. And so as I'm sitting you down and teaching these things to you, I want you to understand I'm doing this from experience. I was in the same boat that you were in. For I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. People get kind of tripped up on this last part of the verse, but likely what's talking about here is he's just giving a warm family tie. And he's just saying, when I was a kid, my mom thought I was the greatest thing. I was the only person in her life. I was the most important. She loved me tenderly. And she thought I was very important. And the idea is he's trying to convey to them, just like you guys are felt, your moms feel that way about you, I was in that situation as well. My mom thought the world of me as well. I was a son to my father as well. And the whole concept that he's trying to bring to these guys is, listen, guys, I was in your shoes. I know the information that you need to hear. And why that's critical is because he's trying to convey to them, listen, you should listen to the guidance that I'm giving you, because I'm giving you this guidance from experience. I'm giving you this guidance as a person who's been in your shoes, and I know what it is that you need to hear. Now, there are some people who will say, and there are many people out there who will say that this Philippians 4:13 verse doesn't mean what I think it means. There are some people who would say, no, this is an empowerment verse. You're just reading too much into it. And people will disagree with me. And that's fine. I don't mind if people disagree with me. I'm fine with that. But I can confidently tell people, I know what this verse is about. I can confidently. And here's why. I can tell you that this verse is about contentment. Because I've lived it. Because I've understood the verse to be this way. And because what I've done is I've learned how to see myself in situations where I have a lot, situations where I have a little, where I have a lot of food, where I don't have very much food. In those situations, if I understand that this is what Christ has given me and that's good enough, I can be content. And I know it works. So that's why when I'm talking to somebody about it, I'm confident about it. I'm not saying, well, you know, you might be right, I might be right, I'm not sure. I'm like, no. I know this is what it's talking about. And here's how I know. Because I've lived it. And that's the concept that is going on here with Solomon. He's trying to communicate to his guys, his sons. Listen, guys, what I'm telling you, I know it's true because I've lived it. I was in your shoes. This is what you need to hear. Guidance is germane. It should have that sense of us communicating things to people, and they're hearing from us a calm, experienced set of guidance. Something that somebody has given, not as distant, not removed, but calm and experienced advice for how to live. And the challenge for us is going to be, and the challenge that I want to give you before we go is this, is I want to challenge you to really study your Bible. Now, studying your Bible, and we'll talk a little bit more about how to do that in a bit, but studying your Bible is a lot of work. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of talking to people and saying, hey, what does this mean? Or trying to process through what it means. It's a lot of work. But at the end of the day, you can go to your friends, you can go to your family members and say, this is true, and I know it's true because I've done the work and I've studied it, and I know this is good guidance for you. So the challenge is to really study, to try to get ourselves away from the opportunity of telling people something that we've heard other people say. Say, well, I think the Bible, so-and-so told me that the Bible says such-and-such. And I'm challenging you to move out past that, to study what the Bible really has to say. So when you're telling somebody, you can tell them confidently, I know from experience, this is true. And that'll give you the confidence, and it'll give them an understanding that what you're saying is actually true.
So how do we authenticate the guidance that we read, that we see, and that we hear? First thing is guidance is grasping. Guidance is teaching people how to understand. It's not just throwing a motto at them. It's giving them the tools that they need to understand how to apply that wisdom in many situations. Second of all, guidance is good. It is truly beneficial. It is helpful. It's not something that doesn't make sense or seems out of place. It's good. And last, guidance is germane. Guidance is something that is speaking from experience. This is what is best for you. I know from experience. And I've told you what I'd love to do is write a book about the secret of contentment. I'd love to write that book and publish it, and that'd be a wonderful thing to do. But the bigger and more beneficial thing for me to do is this. If I can motivate you to study your Bible, that is far better than writing a book about it. And there's two reasons why. One, if you are motivated to study your Bible, you're going to learn about contentment. And you're going to learn and you're going to grasp it and you're going to get confident with it. And you're going to be able to tell other people how they can be content as well. And in addition to that, you can do that with other things that are in the Bible. Other topics other than contentment. If you learn and grasp and get a real hunger for the Bible. So my challenge for you is to study the Bible. Study it. I know that's going to be difficult. I know that's not going to be easy. The first step where you need to start off first is you need to get a Bible that you're comfortable reading. If you need some ideas for translations that'll work for you, let me know. I'll be more than happy to tell you. Find a Bible that you are comfortable reading. Second of all, find a resource that you can use if you get stuck on something. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, we were talking about a website called thebiblicalstory.org. And it's a wonderful website that you can use to go there and kind of get answers to questions about things you're stuck with. But if you're not sure about things, you could call me. I'll be happy to help you or give you some ideas. But the challenge for us is study your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, talk to me. I'll make sure I get you one. But study your Bible. Because if you study your Bible, you're going to be in a position to talk to the people around you, to talk to your neighbors, to talk to your friends, to talk to your family members. And you're going to be in a position to give them guidance. And they'll listen to what you're saying. And they'll hear things that help them to have real understanding. And they'll be like, yeah, that's true. They'll be able to listen to what you're saying and it'll be good. And they'll be like, yeah. That's right. That seems like it'll really work. And you, because you've studied it, you will be in a position to say, I know this is true from experience because I've worked with it and I've studied it. So my challenge for you today is get into the habit of studying your Bible. At this point in the service, now we're going to move into a time of communion. I'm going to ask Jason to come up and he's going to share communion with us.
If you did not receive one of these communion cups on your way in, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get one. You don't need to be a member or regular attender at this church, but we do ask that you be a born-again believer, baptized for your faith in Jesus Christ, and we welcome your participation. Well, communion is typically understood and taught as looking back to what Christ has done in the past. But it also has a future orientation as well. For example, in Luke chapter 22, the Lord was in the upper room with his disciples. And it says this in verses 14 through 16. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat of it, speaking of the Passover, until it, the Passover, is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then the verses immediately following talk about him offering the cup and the bread. And so with communion, the Lord actually connected our practice that we practice here weekly to a future Passover. Now, the first Passover was with Moses and the Israelites, and in the future, there will be a second Passover with a second Moses, who is Christ. And of course, the first Passover was about the nation Israel going into their land. And it will be the same thing with the second Passover, that Israel will be regathered into their land. In Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah prophesied that the Lord would extend his hand a second time, gather the Israelites from a whole bunch of nations. He lists them in the verse there. And it says this, "And he will gather the outcasts of Israel, and he will gather the scattered ones of Judah together from the four corners of the earth." And then he goes on to talk about the kingdom age, which in our circles we talk about that as the millennial kingdom. And so basically the first regathering of Israel was in the 6th century BC. That was the Babylonian exile. They went away for 70 years, came back to Israel. The second exile began around 135 AD when they were cast out of the land, and then the second regathering began around 1948 when Israel once again became a nation. And so we are in very exciting prophetic times as we see not the final fulfillment of this, but we see it in the process of being fulfilled. And so as we celebrate communion, we are actually remembering and reminding one another and declaring to the world that the King is coming back and the kingdom is coming. And so we encourage and rejoice in that great knowledge. So as we take the bread together, we are reminded that God will be faithful to his chosen nation, to Israel, and that a new Passover is coming. Let's partake together. And as we partake of the cup, we are reminded with great joy that the kingdom and the King are coming. Let's partake together. Almighty Father, we thank you for your great promises of a coming King and a coming kingdom. We thank you that we can remind ourselves and take courage as the world grows darker. We know that you have a wonderful plan for the future. And we celebrate the fact that we can partake in it. And we are reminded that we need to be evangelical in the sense that we are taking our faith to others. They're on a sinking ship in this world. And yet there is so much hope for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So help us to be evangelistic. Help us to be reaching those who are lost around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to close with a verse from Psalm 67. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways, so that God's ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all the nations." Amen. God bless you.
You're dismissed.